Bonjour à toutes et à tous.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the AXA Group's annual earnings for the press meeting. This is a special one this year. Given the sanitary requirements, we cannot welcome you here at our head office, so this is a digital format that will allow you to interact with the group's management and ask your questions. The presentation of the earnings will be made by Thomas Buberl, CEO for AXA, Etienne Boislaurent, CFO for the group. It will be followed up with a Q&A session in which will be involved as well Jacques de Peretti, CEO and Chairman of AXA France, and Alban de Mayenel, in charge of risk and capex for the group. We also have a number of members of our management committee who are connected if need be for your questions. I wish you a very good conference, and I'll turn it over to Thomas Buberl.
Merci, Ulrike.
Thank you, Ulrike. Good morning, everyone. I'm extremely happy to be with you today in this digital format. Welcome to this presentation of the AXA Group's annual earnings. Starting now with 2020. 2020 saw an unprecedented health and economic crisis, which will be a landmark. This crisis has allowed us to demonstrate AXA's very strong robustness. You can already see the group's revenues standing at 97 billion euros, nearly stable. This is the outcome of the very strong performance of our priority activities. This is also certainly the result of our investments in the digital. This allowed us to carry on with our businesses, our customer service, despite the lockdown. Thanks to all of this, we are able to generate a high level of underlying earnings at 4.3 billion euros. This result naturally is down by 34%, but as we already said, this crisis is costing us 1.5 billion in compensation and in solidarity measures. It is our business to be with our customers in hard times whilst remaining solid financially. And that's exactly what we did. One indicator shows perfectly our great solidity is the Solvency II ratio. It amounts at 200%, which is up 20 points over the last figures we had in the month of September. It is certainly beyond our target. It's a key figure for us, and which shows that AXA is stable and AXA is solid, and AXA is capable of weathering crises while remaining very solid. And this is because we were able to keep up our commercial performance and a great financial solidity at the same time by protecting our customers, that we are able today to pay out a dividend to our shareholders. This demonstrates the great solidity of the group, our confidence in 2021, and certainly a good alignment on our new plan called Driving Progress 2023. I've just told you that our revenues is nearly stable. It was stable last year. As I said, it's the result of a very good commercial momentum of our strategic business lines. There are three strategic business lines: commercial P&C, health and protection. Commercial P&C was up by 2%, health went up by 6%, and protection up by 2%. Despite the crisis and the slowdown of the economy, these segments continued growing. And this shows, of course, the great momentum, their potential, because it's now in the minds of everyone. It also shows the relevance of our strategic choices that we made, which was to focus far more on risks that matter, on risks which are growing. These are our businesses for the future, which meet these essential needs of our customers. We have seen in 2020,
ce sont des enjeux fondamentaux.
These are fundamental challenges in our societies, the climate, the health factor, but this also is true, and it is even truer tomorrow.
AXA
resisted very well and started 2021 on a very positive path for several reasons. Underlying this, on the one hand, the growth in the priority segments gained ground in the third and then in the fourth quarter, plus 5%. On the other hand, we continued our work on P&C profitability. If we strip out the exceptional effects of the crisis and of the NatCats, our combined ratio continued to go down at 94.2%. Our strategic plan plans a combined ratio target at 93%. In other words, we are on the right path to achieve that. Finally, we continued our strategy to transform the business mix in life, savings, and pension. We are highly focused on the products that are the most interesting for our customers and those that consume the least AXA for AXA. All these elements allow us to start 2021 on the right foot in terms of commercial momentum and profitability as well. Last year, we already accelerated strongly the transformation of our subsidiary, AXA XL. Obviously, the COVID is a crisis in regard that hits mostly the commercial lines. Other entities in the group are benefiting from compensating the negative effect of the crisis through positive effects in personal lines, which saw a loss ratio that was much lower because they are less limited in terms of the risk coming from that crisis. So despite that crisis, we took clear decisions about transforming AXA XL. On the one hand, we decided to be extremely disciplined in terms of underwriting and reduce risks of underwriting in NatCats and in terms of risks related to COVID-19. And with a new team under the leadership of Scott Gunter, we are focusing now fully on this transformation. Secondly, AXA XL has as well reduced the volatility with a new structure of the reinsurance in the NatCat, but also in regard to the reinsurance pertaining to reserves. All of this is focusing in an environment in which prices are increasing sharply. You saw last year an increase of prices by 20%, and in the last quarter, even it went up to 22%. All of this makes us confident that after a crisis that was well identified, we took the right decisions and we're taking advantage of rising prices, and I'm highly confident with my team about the fact that we'll manage to achieve our budget with 1.2 billion in terms of underlying earnings for 2021. Now, looking at the other markets, we see that is a very strong resilience of the results in Europe as well as in France. This is due to the fact that such entities, yes, have a negative effect following the COVID, but they have also the opportunity to offset that negative effect through positive effects in other business lines. But this requires great solidity during the year, with an underlying earnings that is stable at 4.3 billion euros.
La santé,
now, health, as I said, is a focus that is the main one for us. And in Asia and international markets, the very strong growth of our activities have shown the high potential of business and momentum in these regions has made us move forward. Well, the crisis confirmed that health remains a very important need for our customers, and that's exactly the strategic segment which is at the heart of our plan and which we want to continue to develop. Lastly, our development in asset management shows a very good speeding up when it comes to alternatives. For example, investing in the property market, a growth of 14% of those assets, which is very good. And let me remind you that AXA IM is the European leader in this alternative management, which is highly strategic for us and gives us opportunities to invest over the long term at a very good profitability for our customers in a context with low rates. All of this illustrates the relevance of our business mix, which is highly focused on technical risk and very well balanced among the various regions, and really meets the needs of customers, which is related to health protection, but also to corporate risks or commercial risks. As you can see, during this crisis, AXA remained very active in society whilst being very solid at the same time. It is thanks to AXA that we were able to commit ourselves for all the stakeholders. Of course, I have in mind our 100 million customers whom we protected. It was very tough for many of them with the lockdown, with situations that were extremely dire, and the solidarity measures related to this pandemic amount to 1.5 billion euros. In our results, but it's also AXA's strength to be able to fully play its role of an insurer whilst being extremely resilient. The solidity has allowed us also to be very close to our employees. We're facing a situation that was hard, so how could we make sure that everyone would be able to work from remote while continuing to serve our clients? In that case, we took decisions that were very important, which were to guarantee the jobs and wages and not resort to government aid. This has really helped us tremendously. We reassured, therefore, our employees, and as you will see in a few seconds, the satisfaction of our employees has increased tremendously. I'm very proud of this, and I'd like really to extend my thanks to all our employees who have really adapted very well to remote work, have focused very well on serving our customers, helping our customers in a situation that was really dire. Thanks to all of you for all of this. But at the same time, we played a significant role as a stabilizer in the pickup in the economy. When everything stopped last year, we engaged large sums to support the economic activity. For instance, in France, we dedicated 700 million euros to strengthen the equity of SMEs, SMIs. At the same time, we also did our best for jobs. We recruited, we announced to recruit 5,000 people in France, there, out of which 30% are young, because I believe that the commitment towards young people is very important. I know that everyone has been hit by this crisis, but we did really our best to be a good support, a significant support for companies in the countries where we are doing business. Let me specifically focus now on our customers. They were able to see in this exceptional and sometimes challenging context last year that a company as modern as AXA, which is digitalized, can really provide an added value, can really contribute full service in a totally new situation for us, because all of us, we were working remotely, and this modernization of our distribution network has strongly increased between 2019 and 2020. In a way, it allowed to always fulfill the needs of our customers and continue our service to customers through our agents. And myself, I called on a number of agencies, branches during this crisis period, and I'd like to thank really all our agents who did a remarkable job to help our customers to truly speaking stabilize their situation with all the means and the digital resources that they have. Additionally, thanks to our digital investments in remote work, we had an opportunity to make sure that all our employees could work remotely very quickly and be at the same level of customer service compared to where we were before when it was not remote work. And as I said, I'd like to really again to sincerely thank our people, our employees, for this amazing result. You have been great, and thanks to all of that, the satisfaction of our customers increased by 19%, 19%, and as I said before, the satisfaction of employees also was increased at the same time by 14%, 14%. Of course, I know that everything was not perfect. And at the same time, certainly, I have in mind the customers we have who have a real hard time and still have a hard time in this crisis, such as restaurant owners. But AXA has more than 100 individual customers and also corporate customers who are able to count on us during this very, very serious crisis. At the same time, I'd like to focus on our commitment in fighting against climate change. Whilst everyone was focusing on the crisis, on the health crisis, look, we remained extremely active about this climate challenge. And this is why we decided to even reinforce further our commitment in this arena. We continued to act as investors while dedicating more than 4 billion in 2020 during this ecological transition, which is so essential for us. We also set a target, and you saw it in the presentation of our plan, whereby we would reduce by 20% our carbon footprint of the assets of AXA's general account by 2025. We also extended our actions as an insurer is by starting a thinking process about risk underwriting. Our policy is very ambitious about our capex or investment criteria, but at the same time, we must have the same ambition in regard to our business as an insurer. This is why we called on the creation of the Net Zero Underwriting Alliance, Net Zero Insurance Underwriting Alliance. This could change the way we select our risks.
Enfin,
lastly,
première,
and this is the first, the fight against climate change is now one of the priorities in our new strategic plan, which is called Driving in Progress. This is key, really. It is key that our societal commitment be at the heart of our strategy. All the elements that I've just presented to you make us very confident for 2021. We believe that our companies will be able, and our societies will be able to move on, and AXA could well perform well in a context after the COVID crisis in which we can, truly speaking, rely on our strength. The first of our strengths, clearly, is the turnaround of AXA XL in a context of a more positive market. You saw AXA XL was the most hard-hit subsidiary. We took the necessary decisions and steps which are now being implemented. We are really in a very promising phase in terms of price increases. I'm highly confident about the fact that we'll hit 1.2 billion euro budget, targeted budget. And the second key element is the sustainable performance in France and in Europe. Our positions are very strong in significant countries, and we saw during that crisis the resilience, the solidity of these operations in Europe and in France. And thirdly, it's a growth potential in our Asian regions, in the international market, in the way we manage at AXA Investment Management, how we manage our assets. As you will see, we are already obtaining the benefits of our transformation. At the same time, we are confident because we have a strategic plan over 3 years, which is perfectly adjusted to the post-COVID situation. This plan was announced early December, and it is linked around five priorities which are very important for us. First of all, we want to grow in health and protection. The crisis has shown us to what extent such challenges are so basic for us. Secondly, we want to continue to simplify the customer experience and speed up our productivity efforts, because a company that is simpler, more agile, is better positioned to meet the needs of our customers. Thirdly, we want to clearly enhance our underwriting performances, especially at XL, as I said before, while continuing our efforts to improve the profitability. Fourthly, we want to strengthen, as I said, our leadership when it comes to climate challenges. It is at the heart of our strategy. It is a key challenge. We really want to continue to develop our position as a leader in the climate transition. And lastly, we want to increase our cash flows across the group. It is an essential challenge. Remember, the crisis was significant for us, and it showed our solidity, and this is thanks to our operations and transactions, which are very solid and very stable. To end my introduction, I would like to say that we resisted extremely well to the crisis, and this shows our robustness. We owe it to the AXA teams, to our agents and our distribution partners who were extremely committed. I congratulate them and I thank them because it makes me very proud to work with teams that are so dedicated and so much focused to help our customers. We made an unprecedented solidarity effort, and we also had the confirmation of our strategic choices following the change coming from the COVID. We made the right choices, we have a very clear plan, and now we are focusing fully on the transformation of AXA and on concentrating on the business lines and the regions that for us are the most bullish. We have great confidence in the future. Thank you very much. I now turn it over to Étienne Bois-Laurent, who will show us and dive down into the details of these very good results. Etienne.
Thank you, Thomas. And hello, everyone. Well, I'm delighted to be here with you and to review with you the key performance indicators of the AXA Group. First, I would like to start with revenues. They reach, for fiscal 2020, 97 billion euros, almost stable, down 1%. They show the robustness of the AXA Group in a very tough context. We recorded high growth in Q1, then a drop in Q2 under the impact of the strict measures taken to fight the pandemic across our markets. We then saw business pick up in Q3, then accelerate in the last quarter, which positions us very well for fiscal 2021. All our key segments, commercial P&C, health and protection businesses, recorded fine performance levels, which shows the relevance of our strategy. The revenue in our key segments, which accounts for two-thirds of total performance, grew 3% for the full year, accelerating to 5% in the last quarter. We are confident for the next steps, with the continuation of the good price momentum in commercial P&C and increasing demand for health and protection solutions. Now, let us look at underlying earnings, which was impacted by the pandemic and by the NatCat in 2020. Underlying earnings reached 4.3 billion euros in 2020 versus 6.5 billion back in 2019. This change can be explained by three factors: the deconsolidation of Equitable Holdings, the impact of the COVID pandemic, and natural disasters above and beyond the normalized levels. If we look at this change by line of business, we can see that in P&C, performance, not including the COVID impact and NatCat, grew 2% as driven by the improved technical margin. In life and saving, the technical margin was partially impacted by non-recurring items, as mentioned in the first half, as the investment margin remained resilient. In the health business, we recorded good momentum across all geographies and especially in Asia, with increased earnings being offset by the impact of regulatory reform in France. Asset management performed well, as driven by the alternative assets. Remember that our strategic plan, Driving Progress 2023, sets a growth objective of underlying earnings per share of between 3 to 7% on average between 2020 and 2023. We've announced, as a starting point for this target, an underlying earnings level of 6.3 billion euros, which has offset the non-recurring impact of the COVID-19 pandemic and the Nat Cats above and beyond the normalized level. This underlying earnings level is in line with the 2019 underlying earnings on the like-for-like basis and demonstrates our confidence in the execution of our new strategic plan. Let us now look at the detailed performance by line of business. In P&C, revenue were up 1% for the year. In commercial P&C, we recorded growth of 2% for the year, with a rebound in the second half, up 2% in Q3, up 7% in Q4. The pricing momentum continues, especially with AXA XL, with increased prices of 22% in the insurance business in the fourth quarter. We also benefited from significant increases in reinsurance prices, up 9% during the renewal campaign in early January. This momentum continues in 2021 and will continue to positively impact the improved margins. The personal P&C business activity is almost stable. Revenue slightly dropped by 1%, especially due to the lower sales and commercial momentum during the lockdown periods in France and in Europe, especially in the motor insurance business, with prices remaining stable. Now let us look at the underlying earnings picture for the P&C business. This was logically impacted by the COVID pandemic by some 1.5 billion euros with a higher Nat Cat level, with a higher frequency of hurricanes over the North Atlantic this year. In more detail, the increased technical margin went up higher than the interest income or loss. We also recorded lower reserve developments versus prior years. The result is that outside of the impact of COVID and Nat Cat, the P&C underlying earnings would have grown by 2%. This is confirmed by the development in the P&C combined ratio. Not including the COVID and Nat Cat impact, this would have improved by 0.5%. We remain confident in our ability to continue to improve our technical margin in order to achieve our target of a combined ratio of 93% by 2023. Let us now focus on the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. And we confirm that its total adverse impact was 1.5 billion euros, in line with our estimates back in June. In the second half of the year, we recorded an additional impact in commercial P&C, especially with AXA XL, which was offset by reduced loss ratio in the retail lines. In business interruption, we adjusted the claim expense ratio to take into account the newly introduced lockdown measures with rulings by judges in the UK and in Australia. There remains a number of uncertainties connected with proceedings ongoing in France. Event cancellation remained quite stable. On the other lines, credit, financial lines, liability and travel insurance, we increased the respective reserves, even though we recorded a lower number of claims reported to date. The rates of unreported claims reached 90%. These impacts have been partially offset by a reduction in the frequency of claims in retail insurance, especially in the motor insurance business. In order to reduce our exposure going forward, we reviewed and revised the clauses of our non-damage business interruption contracts across the group by explaining the exclusion factors. The rollout of these new contractual clauses are underway in the context of the campaign to renew our policy contracts. Now let us look at the situation with AXA XL. We confirm our underlying earnings target of 1.2 billion euros for 2021. For fiscal 2020, the underlying earnings reached minus 1.4 billion euros as impacted by the pandemic crisis, the Nat Cat events, and the riots in the US. The impact of the COVID reached, as I said, 1.7 billion euros, mainly due to the business interruption losses. The expenses connected with NatCats was 0.5 billion euros. That is higher than the normalized level of 4% for fiscal 2020. This was due to higher frequency of storms and hurricanes over the Atlantic. We also recorded 100 million euros of claims connected with the riots in the US, as mentioned in the first half. By offsetting the impact of these non-recurring claims, the adjusted underlying earnings of AXA XL came to 1 billion euros, in line with the forecasts that we had set. For fiscal 2021, we renew our 1.2 billion euros target of underlying earnings. The new management team took significant measures to recover profitability. We anticipate an increase of 0.5 billion euros due to the new underwriting measures and price momentum. I would remind you that our cautious approach to NatCat with a normalized level of 6% of combined ratio versus 4% previously, we anticipate, finally, a drop of 0.1 billion euros in interest income. For fiscal 2021, we anticipate that XL will have a combined ratio of 96%. Let us now focus on the life and saving business. You will see on this slide that our business mix continues to improve. Revenues dropped by 6% due to the reduction in general account savings in the context of the COVID pandemic, especially in France and in Italy. Protection revenue remained resilient, up 2%. In France, we continue to record high demand for unit-linked products, which account for 48% of in personal saving revenues. That is 10 percentage points higher than the market average. Net new money shows a positive change in the business mix, with less guaranteed rate business, more technical risks, more fees in connection with our strategy. Going forward in the future, we anticipate a rebound in the life and savings business revenue as the COVID impact will go down with a continued growth in the protection and unit-linked business. Now, let us now move to the underlying earnings for the life and savings business. As you can see, the momentum is quite similar to the one we told you about in the first half. Underlying earnings went down by 7% as driven by a lower technical margin, as was explained in the first half. The investment margin remained stable at 67 basis points, with a lower investment income being offset by the lower credited rates to clients. Expenses went down, reflecting the measures to cut costs across geographies. This technical margin should improve next year with respect to the current levels, whilst the investment margin should go down slightly given the low level of interest rates. I suggest now that we focus on the health business. The health business is up by 6% across all geographies for both group and personal insurance lines. In Asia, revenues grew by 9%, especially in China, with increased volumes following new partnership agreements with AXA Tianping. We also recorded an increase in volumes in Japan, an increase in prices in Hong Kong. Underlying earnings were down by 1%, a growth in revenue being offset by an increase in our combined ratio. In France, the gains and efficiencies connected with reduced frequency in claims during the lockdown period were offset by an exceptional tax and also the French reform called 100% health, quote unquote. Going forward, we anticipate returning to normal in our growth trajectory in line with the development of our revenues. Now let us focus on asset management, which continues to be buoyed up by the alternative assets. Assets under management grew by 7%, reaching a record level of 858 billion euros. Assets managed by AXA IM Alternatives grew significantly by 14%. Net new money grew to 40 billion euros in the core alternatives and in the core alternative sectors in our Asian joint ventures. Revenues were higher thanks to the alternative classes, which account for 40% of total revenues. Underlying earnings increased by 6%, which reflects partially the increase in assets under management and a good performance in a tough year. You can expect that we'll be continuing on our growth track in our alternative asset management business, which delivers high margin, which contributes for about half of our profits and continues to be very attractive in a low interest environment. Now let us focus on net income, which reached 3.2 billion euros. The realized capital gains reached 337 million euros, i.e. an amount which is higher than for the first half, which reflects more favorable market conditions in the second half. Now, the non-recurring items reflect the impact of the disposals of subsidiaries as announced, the impairments of some non-consolidated assets, and the contribution to the solidarity funds, as well as an expense connected with the shutting down of two D&O liability lines in the UK and in the Lloyd's sphere. The integration and restructuration costs are mainly connected with the integration of Excel and with the initiatives and restructuring efforts in Europe and in France. Now, with respect to our shareholders' equity, those increased by 1.7 billion euros to reach 71.6 billion euros. The net income was partially offset by dividend being paid out in July. The increase in unrealized capital gains due to the reduction in interest rates was largely compensated by the currency effect due to the appreciation of euro versus the main currencies and the increase in the retirement obligations. As you saw in our introductory remarks, we have a very high solvency ratio at 200%. The ratio improved by 20 points in Q4, benefiting from the integration of AXA XL in the internal model formula of the group. This reflects the benefits of diversification resulting from the combination of XL jointly with AXA, which made it possible to reduce the capital charges. It is to be noted that the solvency ratio does not reflect the 4 percentage points of benefits expected from the disposal of AXA Bank Belgium, with a transaction expected to be signed in the first half of 2021. With respect to the management of our investment portfolio, we maintain very high discipline and we maintain a high diversification in our high-quality assets. Our asset mix was stable with 80% of fixed income high-quality securities. The average of the GOV rating was double A, and the corporate bond ratings averaged at A. And the other fixed income assets also were high-quality. Asset-backed securities were mainly AAA CLOs, and mortgages are highly guaranteed. 20% of the remaining assets are well-diversified, including real estate and listed securities. Now, our exposure to the most vulnerable industries and sectors has been very limited, accounting for less than 2% of total assets, following measures taken to reduce and mitigate risk, which were implemented in the course of the first half. We recorded a slight reduction in our financial yield. The reinvestment rate was 1.3% in the course of fiscal 2020, taking advantage of our expertise with respect to alternative asset classes, which have lower risk. With respect to the cash position of the holding company, we continue to benefit from high flexibility with respect to liquidity, with more than 4 billion euros, which is an amount higher than the bracket which was given of between 1 to 3 billion euros. The key sources for cash changers in the year were as follows. First, a strong cash remittance level from business entities on the order of 4.8 billion euros. In the second half, the injection of equity into AXA XL was offset by cash remittance from other subsidiaries like Switzerland and Japan. Secondly, we received 1 billion euros in proceeds from the disposal of our operations in Central and Eastern Europe, as well as 1.2 billion euros in capital gains on equity derivatives, as well as the raising of commercial paper. These items were partially offset by the payout of dividend on the order of 1.7 billion euros, holding costs for 1 billion euros, as well as the restoral and the restoration of the flexibility of cash in the subsidiaries on the amount of 1.4 billion euros. Now, with respect to the debt situation of the group, as we committed to doing, we significantly reduced our debt in the course of the last 2 years to a level which is now well in the target bracket of between 25 to 28%. Gearing ratio was 26.8% for fiscal 20, which was reduced by 2 percentage points versus 2019, mainly due to the debt payback on the order of 1.3 billion euros. This was back in April, and as well as 0.4 billion euros paid back in December. Before I turn over to Thomas, I would like to say that the momentum in our revenue has been good, especially due to high price increases when renewing the commercial P&C contracts. The earnings in commercial P&C business, not including the COVID and NatCat, grew due to the improved technical margin. We are continuing with our transformational measures and initiatives at AXA XL, and we renew our target of 1.4 billion euros in underlying earnings for fiscal 2021 by focusing on the high-potential product. In life and savings, the business mix improves and the earnings have been resilient. In the health business, we show good revenue momentum across all geographies and especially in Asia. The earnings should keep growing as well as the growth in revenue. Asset management recorded good performance as driven by the alternative assets. The solvency ratio was robust to 200% and the cash levels in the holding company are above our target. The prospects of our key performance indicators are positive and we are confident that we'll reach the targets of our plan as they were announced in December last. Thank you. I now turn over to Thomas for his concluding remarks.
Merci, Etienne.
Thank you, Etienne. By way of conclusion, it can be said that AXA demonstrated its great robustness and its great responsibility in an unprecedented crisis via the measures it took to protect its customers, its clients, its employees, and societies at large. The very strong resilience of its business operations, thanks to the very dynamic key preferred segments and the continuation of our operations. With a very high level in underlying earnings and robustness of our balance sheet with a Solvency II ratio above our targets. We are confident for fiscal 2021 and the implementation of the Driving Progress 2023 strategic plan. We now are available to answer your questions. Thank you.
La première question vient d'AXA.com de Julien
AXA.com, Julien Are you satisfied with the development of your business operations in Italy? What was the impact of the COVID pandemic? As a partner of MBPS, would you like to have a future, an independent future for the bank, or would you like to integrate it in another banking group, is the question. Thank you, Julien, for your question. I suggest that Antimo Peretta answers you, knowing that the question focuses on Italy, on the impact of the COVID pandemic, and on our relationship with PMPS. Antimo, the floor is yours. Thank you very much. Well, the situation we experienced last year was as follows. We offset the drop in business activity via our agents, but the bank was closed for 6 months. But we are very proud and very happy to have this partnership in place with the bank. The business operations with the banks are going on, and we hope that we will have some calm in the banking business operations to continue on our growth track. Our collaboration will go on. We have developed a host of new products which will be marketing for our joint common clients, and we hope that if the bank, whether it remains independent, whether it embarks on a joint venture, we consider and hope we can continue our partnership with them, because it's a good story that we want to continue with. So all in all, we are very happy with the business operations in Italy with fine growth. We compensated our drop in business activity despite a tough situation, and we hope we'll be able to go on with our partnership with the MPS. Thank you, Antimo. Moving on to the next question. We have another question from Jean-Luc Champetier from the Investir Journal. Jean-Luc, over to you. Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my question. With respect to the preferred segments in the distribution of underlying earnings, in the breakdown of underlying earnings, that is, it's hard for us to identify what fraction of underlying earnings are accounted for the commercial PNC, health and protection, for your preferred segments. Can you expand on that? Thank you, Jean-Luc, for your question. I will ask Etienne to answer this. What is the share of underlying earnings for the preferred segments? Etienne, over to you. Well, I said earlier in my talk that they accounted for about two-thirds of business activity. With respect to underlying earnings, the share is higher than this proportion. But we have a special year this year due to the COVID pandemic crisis and due to the Nat Cat impact. And we are slightly below this natural share of underlying earnings.
Merci.
Thank you, Etienne. Moving on to the next question. Yes, we have a question from Thierry Gouvy of News Assurance Pro Magazine. Thierry, over to you.
Bonjour à toutes et à tous.
Yes, hello everyone. Thank you for your presentation. Can you expand on the agreement you signed with Enstar? Are you expecting some tough time from Excel in the next few months going forward? Thank you for your question. I suggest that Alban de Mayenel will answer your question, because he was directly involved in the negotiations with ENSA. Alban, over to you. Hello, everyone, says Alban. Thank you for your question. Well, indeed, the lines we've been protecting at Excel are those liability and commercial lines. Those lines have volatility by nature. So we decided to protect against this level of volatility by taking reinsurance via what we call an ADC, adverse development contract, i.e. the adverse developments in these lines. And the way it's been organized, the way it's been structured is that in excess of 400 million euros of additional deviation, the losses would be borne by Enstar up to 90%, and we will keep some 10% of the losses with us. And Enstar would cover up to 90% of 1 billion euros in deviation. We do not expect, however, that there would be especially negative items with Excel, generally speaking, as we are we have appropriate reserves, as was said, with excess provision of 200 million euros, as was said. Thank you, Alban, for this. Thierry, this is totally in line with our strategy at AXA XL, which has been to reduce volatility in financial performance. Next question, please. We have a question from Florian de Lambilly from News Assurance Pro Magazine. Florian, over to you.
Bonjour à tous.
Hello, everyone.
I have
a series of small questions. The first is on dividend payout. ACPR and the French National Bank stated that there should be caution on dividend payout this year. Do you consider that 1.43 euro is cautious and is in line with the request by ACPR? With respect to AXA France, I read that AXA recouped 40,000 new contracts for the retail lines in 2020. Can you tell us what is the breakdown between the home insurance and motor insurance, and how do you explain this new business as your retail P&C business is going down in France? And also, can you give us an update on the legal proceedings in France with respect to the restaurant owners, where you stand with this situation today, how many legal proceedings, how many lawsuits you still have ongoing, and when and when do you think this situation will be cleared? Thank you, Florian, for your three questions.
I will answer the first question, and I move that Jacques de Peretti answer your second and third questions. Now, the second question, while focusing on our net gains for personal lines, what's the breakdown between motor lines and home insurance? And the third question, an update on the litigation. Where do we stand there? Now, for your first question, you notice this the dividend of 1.43, a decision by the board. Certainly, we're in dialogue with the ACPR as usual. It's a good dialogue, which is part of a good quality relationship. You also saw the communication of the ACPR last week, which calls upon caution, as you said, Florian, and we certainly still always followed such recommendations by the ACPR. Last year, remember, the board of directors initially suggested a dividend of 1.43, and following the difficulty due to the crisis, we accepted the recommendation of the ACPR and paid only 50% of the dividend. And this year, the ACPR again asked us to be cautious, and given very good solvency and given our very good resistance to this very strong crisis with good cash level, whereby we reduced also our debt level, it is clear that the board of directors has considered this decision about 1.43, and this is why it is in balance with all the contributions that we have made to our employees, to our customers, and certainly as well to the society as large, where, as I showed in my presentation initially. Jacques, will you please take care of questions 2 and 3 of Florian? Thank you, Thomas, and good morning to all of you. Thank you, Florian, for your two questions. With respect to the personal lines and to commercial lines, as a matter of fact, we have seen a net growth of our portfolio of 40,000 businesses on the motor lines and home insurance. It is between plus 47,000 for the motor lines and minus 7,000 when it comes to home insurance. This is a result of 3 years of work, which consisted in reinforcing our position in this segment. We announced that through, of course, the digitalization of our offer, which has changed a lot, and through also the cover and the guarantees. In the last 3 years, we have two new products for motor lines and for home insurance, and also through the strengthening of our quality of service, thanks to the specific actions. All is very close to our customers, to our tied agents. So we are very happy with this. We announced that, and which today, for the first year, is positive. We want to continue on that path. It shows also that the impact, we would say, on our reputation about the things, the businesses that you want us to talk, was modest, because this is a year when we had difficulties. It is finally also in this year that we have a net impact with personal lines. Now, why is it down on the professional personalized? Well, it is, you see that with professionals, given the price discounts, the price freezes, it is negative. With regard to now litigations, very quickly, as you know, our standard contract, which was the subject of several procedures, and today there are about 40 courts that have given a ruling up until now. About 30 courts gave a ruling, and nearly all of them were favorable to AXA. Well, in the first ruling, about 30 courts also gave a ruling with a fairly balanced number, which were in favor of AXA. For instance, have in mind that if the Paris Commercial Court was not in favor of AXA, other major courts such as Lyon or Toulouse or Bordeaux, well, supported our position. So, this legal instability, we regret it, because it creates with our customers difficulties that we don't need and that we don't wish to have. And it requires a lot of explanation and resilience. Having said that, in the coming weeks, the appeals courts, the appellate courts, will also give out their rulings, and hopefully, we hope really that this legal instability will cease for the benefit of all. Thank you, Jacques, and thank you, Florian, for your questions. Let's move on to the next question. We have a question from Laurence Pochard from the AGFI. Please unmute your mic. It's your turn. Thank you for your presentation. I have two questions. Could you confirm the fact that you abandoned your project Nord Stream 2, and how were you involved in financing the infrastructure? And secondly, regarding the desire to accelerate the alternatives, could you detail the segments where you will put more resources? Thank you. Very well. Thank you, Laurent, for your two questions. I suggest that Alban answer your first question in regard to our commitment or end of commitment in Nord Stream, and Marco Morelli, who is with us and who is a CEO for AXA Investment Manager, will answer the second question about alternatives and the underlying trends. Alban, thank you for your question. On Nord Stream 2, yes, as a matter of fact, we were in the insurance pool for this project, and as was the case with others, we decided to withdraw from that project. Thank you, Alban. Marco, regarding alternatives. Good day, everyone. Good day, Laurence. On the alternatives, AXA IM approach will be enhanced in capital raising in the U.S., in North America, by supplementing the range of products that exist on the alternative side, in the real estate, in the equity, in the real estate infrastructure initiatives. At the same time, we want to reinforce and increase the penetration into structured finance.
Merci, Marco.
Thank you, Marco. Next question.
We will now switch to questions from AXA.com.
AXA.com.
Our first question is from Ben Dyson of S&P Global Market Intelligence. What level of further coronavirus claims is AXA expecting in 2021, and where will these claims come from, i.e. future business interruption verdicts, event cancellations, etc.?
Thank you, Ben, for your question. I will hand that question over to Alban de Mainel.
So in 2021, we have significantly decreased our exposure to further claims from COVID. You have seen that in 2020, those claims came mainly from two lines, event cancellation and business interruption. So event cancellation, we have written extremely few events in 2021, as you can imagine, and the covers of those events exclude the COVID. For business interruption, we have also engaged in a process to get rid of the COVID covers in our business in our non-damage business interruption policies. That will be completed at the end of the year, when all policies have been renewed. But already you can see that around April, 60 to 70% of our policies will have been renewed with the exclusion of the COVID covers. And therefore, we don't expect significant claims in 2021 coming from COVID.
Thank you, Alban, and thanks, Ben, for your question. We go to the next question.
Nous avons une question.
We have a question from Christian Schubert from the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung. Christian, over to you. Yes, hello. Thank you. I wanted to know, you said that you went out of Nord Stream 2. Why did you move out of this project? Thank you for your question. I will turn over to Alban, and who already spoke about Nord Stream 2 and the pool. As you saw, the Nord Stream 2 project is subject to potential sanctions by the U.S. government. So we took this potential sanction risk into account, our exposure across the board to the U.S. market, and we decided jointly with the other participants in this pool to move out, to withdraw from it for these reasons. Thank you, Christian, for your question, and thank you, Alban, for your answer. Next question, please. We have a question from Thibault Madelin from the Les Echos magazine. Thibault, over to you. Yes, hello, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. Can you tell us what is your view of Massif's plan to acquire Aviva France, which would make Massif a key competitor to you in the French market? And there are other Aviva assets which are on sale in other European countries. Are you interested by those assets? Thank you, Thibault, for this question. I will suggest that Jacques will first answer your question for the French market. I will take over and expand on an answer for the international scene. In many insurance companies, it can be seen that they are embarking on a move that AXA started back in 2016 that is focuses on those markets when insurance demand is high, making those markets key markets. And the crisis stepped up this thinking process and development in many companies. But it's quite natural that companies should think they should focus on some markets, on some key markets, and this is exactly what AXA has been doing now. With respect to our commitment to such discussions, as you may know, AXA has a high presence and is highly focused on its core business operations. We have a large presence in Europe and in France. We are the global leading insurer company for commercial lines, and we are very well positioned in high-growth Asian markets as well as in those markets in emerging countries, which gives us a very robust base for organic growth, and we are very much focused in growing and expanding this footprint. Of course, If AI comes up in a market which looks relevant to us and to shareholders, of course, because it was very clear for us in our communication of our strategic plan that financial discipline would prevail. And of course, we would be looking at such acquisition targets, but it is not our core primary activity day in, day out. Jacques, please answer the question for Aviva France and the French market. Thank you, Thomas. Thank you, Thibault, for your question. Well, we've been considering that in France, this teaming up does not generate a major change in competitive situation because from what we've understood, each existing partner will remain per se in their respective situations. And we already had Aviva enjoying a significant market share in France. So no major change, basically, in the French market. Major changes and moves in the French market are more with respect to the gradual increase in the bank assurance business and participants, which we are confronted with and against which we have or for which we have lots of positive arguments, especially in the retail market. And lots of changes are happening with respect to changes in policyholder behavior, quality of service, digitizing. This is our main concern today. Thank you, Jacques, for your answer. Moving on to the next question, please.
We now switch to questions from AXA.com. The next question is from Katie Scott of Insurance Times. How would you describe AXA's performance in the UK P&C market, specifically in 2020?
Thank you, Katie, for your question. And I will hand that question over to Antimo Perretta, who also oversees the UK and can give us his view on the UK performance in 2020. Antimo.
Thanks a lot for these questions. I should say that in the UK market, our performance has suffered logically from the situation coming from the COVID. We have a great success on the retail, on the commercial line. But overall, I would say that the COVID and the economic environment has impacted us in the growth on the P&C and especially in the commercial lines part. Overall, we still be confident for the future because we have developed very good products and also the way that we are working with our partners will help us to get up in the grow in the coming years.
Thank you, Antimo, and we go to the next question.
Our next question is from Samuel Casey of Insurance Insider. Why did you choose this year when rates are finally rising well to change underwriting strategy and reduce premium income at AXA XL?
Thank you very much, Samuel, for this question. I will hand it over to Alban. And just before Alban is answering, I think there is no contradiction between focusing on the profitability in an environment of rising rates. On the contrary, it is a great opportunity to really focus on the profitability. Alban, maybe you can enlarge on this a little bit.
I think you've said almost it all, Thomas. There are two aspects. One, we are not saying that we don't want to underwrite or that we want to reduce our underwriting at XL. What we're saying is that we want to underwrite at the right price, and we are helped for this by the current market environment with rising prices. The other aspect which is important is that we want also to slightly change the shape of our portfolio, and we've taken some measures on several lines, notably property, but also some financial lines in the UK, to reduce our exposure to those lines in line with our risk appetite. So we are benefiting from the rise in rates, in premium rates, and we are not at all targeting a reduction as such of XL's business.
Thank you, Alban. And we move to the next question.
Nous n'avons plus de questions sur AXA.com.
We don't have any more questions on AXA.com. We don't have any more questions on Microsoft Teams. I suggest the journalists raise their hands by using the raise your hand feature on Teams if you have more questions to ask.
D'autres questions?
Any more questions?
N'hésitez pas à lever la main.
Please feel free to raise your hands on the platform if you have more questions to ask.
N'hésitez pas, donc vous avez encore d'autres questions.
If you have more questions, please ask them. There doesn't seem to be any more questions. Well, thank you, Sistema Bubel. It seems we've answered all your questions. I would really like to thank you all for taking part in this earnings press release and for asking your questions. Once again, the AXA Group performance has been very fine performance with revenue almost stable, with an extremely robust balance sheet and with profitability levels, which in this very tough crisis context coming out at a very high level. We are very confident for fiscal 2021 and will do our utmost to once again succeed in posting fine performance in fiscal 2021. Have a great day. Thank you. Goodbye.